And now, Understanding the Times with Jan Markell, the program committed to helping you contend for the faith and view current events through the lens of the Bible. Here's Jan Markell.
Okay, welcome to the program again, everyone. Those of us in Minnesota are struggling today. We come to you from the Twin Cities. That's where we originate. We got a blast of winter today, so I thank my friends in the area that live near the radio station that I could stay with them last night and actually make it to the studio, or who knows, I could be stuck in a ditch right now. But anyway, we need to move on in this hour. Let me say this. Let's just say this. This is one of the most difficult hours I have done Understanding the Times in 9 years, and I'm trying to keep it family-friendly so that no one has to turn off the radio. This program does tell the truth and the inconvenient truth, and it's the tough inconvenient truth when we find out in the course of this particular hour that once again Christians are being seduced by the world. Now, let me just say real quick and up front, I don't do movie reviews on this program. I consider that a waste of time. Unless the film is a great culture changer or is produced to destroy children and teens and tank the culture. Again, if it's designed to destroy children and teens and tank the culture, it needs to be talked about primarily in this case because, once again, Christians are falling for it. Big time. Now, I've been outspoken about the Harry Potter series, and I've gotten praise. I've also been beaten up for it, but something now has come along far worse, as we see the culture continue to decline. By now, most of you have heard about the best-selling, maybe you haven't heard, about the best-selling Twilight Saga series written by Stephanie Moorman. Thus far, over 17 million books are in print. The author is a 30-something Mormon mother of three. Her books include Twilight, New Moon, Eclipse, Breaking Dawn. But the first film, Twilight, a few months ago, actually, I think it's more like a few weeks ago, grossed $70 million the first weekend, and it has preteens and teens heart-throbbing for the stars of the film, and they are being lured into the occult, and Christians are also all excited about this abomination. And even though this film is dark and focuses on blood, as I said, Christians are flocking to the film, buying the books for Christmas gifts, and thinking it is just fine for those they love to get absorbed in this delusional abomination. Where is discernment? And I'm tempted to say, where else are you going to hear this kind of truth? I have heard, even on Christian radio talk shows, nobody challenging a movie reviewer who says it's just fine. The fact is that the entire Twilight series is glamorizing and promoting, I hate to say it, vampirism and the occult. Now, why Christian parents and grandparents think this is okay for you, that you're buying into all of this, sending your kids to the film, buying them books. I have heard many Christian parents and grandparents are buying these books for their Christian kids for Christmas. How can God-honoring ministries write positive reviews? And I'm going to cite some of these ministries that are writing positive reviews about one of the sickest phenomena that has come along in a long, long time. Clearly, the heroes of today are much like the villains of 30 and 40 years ago. And by the way, if you search on some search engines on the internet, Twilight book, you will come up with 100 million hits. And this is always a barometer to see how popular something has become. To help me sort through this mess, which is what it is, Carol Matriciana has stayed on the line. I'm also joined by Eric Barger from Take a Stand Ministries. Eric Barger will be one of our 2009 Understanding the Times conference speakers. Eric, you with me?
I am, Jan. How are you?
Okay, and Carol, you're still with me?
Yes, I am, Jan. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
We're going to have to adjust levels here, but that's fine. All right, we're going to go back and forth, the three of us, asking this first to Eric. There's a whole market industry based on these books, and Twilight has actually induced a multi-million-dollar cottage industry, spawning everything from T-shirts, clothing, tattoos. I could go on. 4 days after the movie's release, I went to a local Walmart, I think that's you, Eric, to find the store sold out of the Twilight books. I think you indicate the same with Target. And it isn't that they didn't plan, it's that they just had no way of keeping up with this sick current demand. Would that be correct?
Yeah, that's what we found out was happening all around the country. And remember, this book series is aimed at teen and preteen girls. This is a different target audience for films that glorify occultism than we've seen before. It is a phenomena, very unique phenomena, and when I brought this up to you two, 3 weeks ago now that we should do something on it, it hadn't hit the radar yet like it has after the movie came out. But that first weekend, it was a 3-to-1 winner over the second-place movie in finances that weekend, $70 million the first weekend. In fact, Saturday morning after the movie came out, 2 weeks ago this morning, the producers of the movie announced that they would make the sequels, numbers 2 and 3, simultaneously because the first night's box office was big enough to tell them that they had more than just a little hit on their hands.
All right. And apparently, speaking of Potter, and make no mistake, Twilight is the next Harry Potter. In fact, many are saying, who's Harry Potter? Many of the same Potter fans are now loyal to Myers Saga here, and it's a logical move for a culture craving a supernaturalism from a school of witchcraft to a clan of vampires. Readers and moviegoers are again proving how broad the thirst is for the mystical power whose source is decidedly not God. Carol Matriciana, you are a Harry Potter expert, and I think you would agree that this transcends, this greatly exceeds the danger, not the Potter isn't dangerous, but greatly exceeds the Potter phenomenon.
It absolutely does. Interestingly enough, Jan, of course, the blood-sucking vampire did open up in book number one, so Harry Potter fans were introduced to the idea of sucking the blood of and vampirism. And now we see only a short half a decade later that this has now come into as Eric said, pre-teen girls who, you know, and the desire of course, the bloodsucker, the vampire, is the male that usually puts his teeth into the
Right. Let's be cautious here in what we're saying, please.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Jan, can I point out, as you already have, and I just want to keep reiterating this point, the book series and the movie are being accepted widely in Christian circles. That's the shocker.
Right.
That is probably the main thing that has disturbed me in this. We watch the culture produce all kinds of things that are way out of bounds biblically. But when you see the church and those inside the church accepting this stuff, this may not be as in your face to somebody as the Harry Potter series might have been. But the most subtle evil is the evil that will seep into the cracks and do the most damage in homes where this stuff has never been accepted before. I am more shocked by the day, the lack of biblical worldview and thinking that I see taking place among Christians who I once thought were thinking with the Bible as being their guide. And that is the key. Let's get back and look at what the Scripture says and see if these things are acceptable. Not just whether they are the lesser of the evils somebody's estimation in our culture.
You can learn more. As a matter of fact, Eric's written about this at ericbarger.com. Carol, you're going to send an e-blast out. Maybe you already have. But how can folks sign up for your e-blast? Go to caroltv.com?
Yes, just go to caroltv.com, and on page one they can subscribe free. And, the e-blast is on its way.
All right. Now, Here's the thing, Eric, I want to build on what you just said. It's so important. This is why I'm doing this. I would not do this unless, as I said, Christians are being sucked in. Now, here's a prominent website. It's pluggedinonline.com. It is the movie review site of one of the most prominent family ministry organizations probably in the world. The only reason I can't mention it is that the program airs on almost all stations I air on, and there is a written rule in radio that you do not say negative things about other programs that are on your same station. Therefore, I'm having to skirt around that. If you want to go to pluggedinonline.com, you can find the whole thing. But this is a pro-family ministry. Let me just read two paragraphs so that we can move on. It says this: I'd never given much thought of how I would die. So begins one of the most resonant love stories to touch teen culture in quite some time. Love found in a world filled with terrifying monsters in the moonlight. Love found at strange high school in a tiny rainy town that Bella Swan did not want to live in. Love found by a cold-blooded vampire who didn't think he would ever feel the warmth again. Love found by both of them to be intoxicating to the point of creating a near giddy insanity. So determined, it turns out, that even when she learns that he's a vampire, she's unwavering in her newfound infatuation. "You don't scare me," she tells repeatedly, almost as if she's trying to convince herself all along. Now, this same website, which I'm reading from pluggedinonline.com, the parent website, says this: family is a big part of what nurtures Twilight's love is all about. Edward's coven, the family of vampires, is a loving one. Give me a break. Somebody wake up and smell the bagels. We are now praising family, even though it's a satanic coven. Carol, I'm going to have to go practice Christian yoga to get my blood pressure down. I mean, I've got more to read, but you folks comment. I don't want to dominate this. You folks comment.
Well, you know, this is completely dysfunctional. I mean, let's just use one of the words that I think they would probably want to use. And I am absolutely beside myself with this review. I frankly don't think that the head of this particular ministry has been
That's
reading what's been put on their
how.
Website. And I think that should be pointed out. I don't think that particular person knows what's up there, but this reviewer definitely needs to go back and start reading the scriptures once again.
Carol, you want to comment? I've got more to read here.
No, that's exactly why I contacted you, Jan, with the absolute shocking, the shock, which is what my newsletter focuses in on.
Yeah.
How many Christian ministries who have reviewed this movie are saying that it's okay without even comparing it with a biblical worldview and not understanding that the Bible puts all this totally out of bounds.
All right, we have on Christianity Today, again, pretty much, I don't want to say they're endorsing it, but they're giving it positive comments. To me, that's an endorsement. At the bottom of ChristianityToday.com/movies, I believe, is where you would go. Yes, ChristianityToday.com/movies. We have, after their review of it, what amounts to a proposed, fasten your seatbelts, a Bible study centered around Twilight, which is the story. It's just a vampire story. With all the ugliness that I am trying to hold back on, it may not be possible. For instance, in this suggested Bible study by Christianity Today, following their review, read Mark so-and-so, Matthew so-and-so, Romans so-and-so. What do these verses say about our desires and temptation? How are Edward's attempts not to give in to his evil desires like the life of a Christian? Okay, so now, how does Edward compare to our life as a Christian? Hey, he's a vampire. He doesn't compare at all. I'm sorry. I have tried. Yeah, Christian yoga, I got to get.
Mark, I've known Jan Markell for several years. I've never heard her this vehement.
I know, because I don't like, and Carol, give us the verse, I don't like it when the target is children and teens, and the Bible has serious warnings about that.
Yes, it does. It absolutely does. And we're told that, behold, you know, watch out for those that make children fall away and get into sin from meandering away from Jesus Christ. But I think worse than anything is that the Christian world does not understand the idea of vampirism. What are vampires? They're beings that are possessed by demonic spirits who claim to have eternal life. Yes, of course Edward claims to have eternal life because demonic spirits have eternal life, but their eternal life is separated from Jesus Christ, who thought so much about our eternal life that he died in order for us to be able to be reunited with his Father. So here we have teenagers being primed to, and taught that eternal life doesn't matter, that who you're going to doesn't matter, as long as you're in love with the vampire, demon, spirit, whatever it is that you're going to spend it with. I mean, this is outrageous. And as Eric said, what has happened to the biblical worldview that we no longer compare and test everything against scriptures?
Yes.
You know, Carol, what I see here too is direct mockery against the cross. As I've kind of revisited vampirism over the last little while in dealing with this movie and doing interviews on this topic, is that, you know, this whole thing is just another veiled attack against the cross. You know, we know that life is in the blood. And this whole idea of vampirism really is an antithesis of what Christ did for us at the cross. And so when you look at it like that, you understand it like that, and you know that this is just the devil saying, hey, you can have eternal life through this particular idea. You can live on here on the earth in a body that's hundreds of years old by attempting to practice this. I know there are people who say, oh, well, you know, there's no such thing as vampires, and this doesn't really happen. But, you know, the ideas that are planted here are so anti-Christian that it just shocks me that any major Christian outlet or a news source would ever write something positive about this kind of a movie.
Well, I've got another positive one, and I'm going to name the organization, and that's Campus Life. They're trying to sanctify evil, and they say, second, set thoughtful boundaries to avoid temptation in the first place. In Twilight, Edward sets limits for himself. He takes temptation seriously. Oh, we're sanctifying this guy. He knows actions have consequences, and that if he gives himself one tiny inch, he could lose control. He recognizes, like Paul, nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. I assure you, folks, the chief character in this movie is not thinking about the words of Paul. He's a demon. He's of the devil. Here's what I want to do. I want to take an off-air poll. Nobody's going to come on air. I want to take an off-air poll. Have we crossed the line here on radio by being so blunt as to talk about blood-sucking vampires that Christians think are just fine? Or is this, in fact, something we should be talking about? Because I feel bad having to do this. But if I'm going to help you understand the times and contend for the faith, I've got to tell you the truth and the inconvenient truth. So question number one is, have we crossed a line we shouldn't be talking about it? Or number two is, should we be talking about it? Call my engineer for an off-air poll, which is going to be 651-289-4499, 651-289-4499, or 888-332-5169. By now, everybody may have turned their radios off, and I won't get any calls at all. I'd really like to know, folks, if we've crossed the line here, or if you feel we need. We'll give the results of the poll at the end of the program. All right, now here. So I've just read about the guy recognizing, like Paul, nothing good thing lives in me. And I think, as the reviewer from Campus Life says, as I read Twilight books, I found that the vampires in these books don't fit the classic. Oh, wonderful. Okay, all right. No protruding fangs, no coffins, etc. They have no dark mission, demonic connection or contrast with the unspiritual world. Both of you comment on what I just said.
Off to you, Eric.
Jan and Carol, the key I'm seeing here, and as I read this review, is this particular reviewer is trying to delineate a less terrible evil with something that's totally evil, or that he sees or she sees as totally evil. That the convolution of right and wrong may be the thing that I see is the biggest problem here, is that we have a family of good vampires, quote-quote,
right,
who are fighting against a family of bad vampires. And, of course, then in the second book, and we believe in the second movie, they're going to introduce werewolves into the picture,
yes,
as well.
Yes.
But this is what it comes down to, is that where is the real hero here? There isn't one. Yet it would appear to me that these Christian reviewers are trying to make Edward into some sort of a hero. And you know, let's go back, and I want to visit just one thing, and then I know Carol wants to comment on your question, but Stephanie Meyer had a dream, woke up out of a dream one morning, and began writing these books. Does this sound familiar at all? This sounds like the daydreaming of J.K. Rowling on the train when she began the
yes.
Harry Potter series. It's certainly... people wake up out of dreams with some strange ideas, and this one, I think I know where this came from, but this was the genesis of these books, is that it came from a dream state that she was in one morning and woke up and saw these characters and began to write about them.
Go ahead, Carol.
Yes, well, also another point that, remember that in the dreams, she says that, that he came back to her in a dream and said that what she had written about him only being involved in animal blood, and I don't want to upset your listeners, but that was not true, that he was now involved in human stuff. So she said that this was a terrifying encounter with Edward in another dream that told her that she was wrong and giving misinformation. Now, I think another thing that that we have to understand, that within shamanism, paganism, the India that I grew up with, the drinking of blood is a very important part of pagan rituals. And the idea of, I mean, just because one calls it a vampire and it's a fiction creature, it's not fiction in scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And as Eric had pointed out, the idea of the blood is the life. And Jesus came to give us abundant life. It's a mystery. We don't understand the power of the blood except that through it, Jesus has given us forgiveness. And Satan is plagiarizing, is doing
yes.
some kind of a mockery on this, and then also attempting to give us eternal life in a damned form, if you will, through a twisting of words, which Christians are... Oh, my gosh, the idea of Christians twisting and integrating deep, dark, satanic paganism into all of this, cleaning up Edward, and this is no different from what took place in the 60s in my book Out of India. I mentioned Star Wars, where the Force is meant to be both good and bad, and Harry Potter, Harry was the White Witch, whereas the evil Lord Voldemort was the Dark Witch. What's happening here is Satan is bringing evil and good closer and closer and closer, and Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 11 that Satan is an angel of light, and he has the spectrum from light to darkness, the dragon of old, etc. So within Satan's character is both light and dark, good and evil, I mean good in a horrible way, because Jesus says if the light within you is dark, how dark is the darkness? So what's happening here is that we are not being given God's opinion of what is good and evil, right and wrong, etc., etc. It's the world's philosophical opinion.
All right. We, because I have two guests online, we have four lines to take our poll. And please be patient. Just let the phone ring. Brian will be in there answering your call. And I'm asking the question here, have we gone too far by even bringing this topic up? Because it's not really family radio, I'm sorry. Or is this a format, is this a forum where these things should be talked about, even if it's the inconvenient truth? Again, I'll give those numbers one more time. We're going to take this poll for the next 10, 15 minutes, and I want to know. Because, as I said, opening it up, I feel badly talking about this. I feel badly the culture has sunk so low. I feel badly that I can't bring you this hour up anything uplifting. The numbers to call to participate in the poll are 651-289-4499, 651-289-4499, or 888-332-5169. We'll carry that on for another 15 minutes or so. If the line's busy, just keep trying, and Brian will get to you eventually. All right, back to campus life, trying to sanctify evil here. And they say these vampires' dark sides represent the very real monsters inside each of us. I'm sorry, I'm not a monster. I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't tell me, campus life, that these things represent the monster in me. They are fighting against the temptation to do evil. That's the characters in the film or books, which is what we as humans have to do every day. Go ahead, Eric. We have only a minute.
Well, Jan, I was just going to say, you know, if you're saying you feel badly about it, and I understand what you're saying, but let me just say that if preteen girls in a Christian school are longing to go and see this movie, and I know this from personal...
They are.
Because my granddaughters, her friends were trying to get her to go. They're 12 and 13, and the 12-year-old came and told me that her friends were trying to get her to go to the debut night of the movie. That means they've probably been reading the book as well. We didn't know this, of course, till then. But if preteen girls are being into this from a Christian setting, and this is a good Christian school, by the way. This is no liberal setting that these girls are in. Then we've got to talk about it here. I mean, it's better for us to talk about it, to aware the parents, and to aware those who are maybe in some sort of control here, and to get pastors to wake up to realize this needs to be mentioned from the pulpit. I just praise the Lord that in that Christian school, the very day the movie came out, there was a chapel, and one of the teachers stood up and gave a long presentation about why the kids needed to stay away from this stuff. Praise
okay.
the Lord.
Okay.
And, but, you know, we've got to address it. And that's, to me, it was... Once I began to read this, and certainly as soon as I saw the movie, I knew we had to address this issue because so many Christians were going to be involved.
All right. Now, folks, if you want to get some deeper information, go to ericbarger.com, ericbarger.com, where he has an article there posted. Go to Carol's blog, caroltv.com. Do you have it on your blog yet, Carol?
Yes, I think it's being put up today as we speak, Jen.
All right, fine. And to reach me, it's olivetreeviews.org. Now, let me just say we're going to come back on the other side of the break, and I'm going to read some more of what Christians are saying positively about this. Christianity Today, a whole bunch of others are saying this is just fine, okay. And then we also need to have Eric comment on what can parents do in a situation like this. We need to save time for that. Again, I'm offering free DVD, Privileged Planet, if you just sign up for our print newsletter, Understanding the Time. Just call 763-493-3010. The newsletter print journal is free. So is the $20 Privileged Planet DVD. You have to be new to our database in order to do that. You have to be in the U.S. Now, okay, we will talk a whole lot more. I cannot say, aren't you glad you're born for such a time as this? Please let your light shine in a very dark world. You're listening to Understanding the Times, and I'm Jan Markell.
A reminder to radio archive listeners and podcasters that the Understanding the Times radio show is totally listener supported. We air on several radio stations, which allows us to bring our programming to you. Would you consider a tax-deductible donation to Olive Tree Ministries for the radio outreach? You can send a check to Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can also donate and order safely online online at olivetreeviews.org or call 763-493-3010. And thanks for partnering with this ministry committed to helping you understand the times and contend for the faith.
Welcome back to Jan Markell's Understanding the Times. Here's Jan Markell.
Okay, I think I've settled down now, and we're continuing our off-air poll at 651-289-4499 or 888-332-5169 saying, have we gone too far? But I never thought I'd be doing a radio program about vampirism and that Christians would be okay with it. I never dreamed in my wildest dreams that we'd be having to bring to light something as evil as this that Christians are buying into. The fact is that the entire Twilight series is glamorizing and promoting vampirism and the occult. And as I said earlier, clearly the heroes of today are much like the villains of 30 to 40 years ago. Again, you want to... If your station's not carrying this full 2 hours, just remember that all programming goes up on my website late Monday, and that's olivetreeviews.org, views as in viewpoint, and just go to Radio Archives. We have about 3 years of programming posted there, as well as a lot of other things. Contact information for my guest, Eric Barger, ericbarger.com, and for Carol Matriciana, caroltv.com. Now, folks, my guests, if you want to insert some more comments here, please do. We're going to get to Eric's points here that we have to cover. Carol, here, let me read from the e-blast that you sent, at least two paragraphs. And you say this. This was written, I believe, even last night, so it's very current. You said, as I stood in line to see a different movie, hundreds of teens around me flooded the movie complex to purchase tickets for Twilight, showing at 5 of the 15 screens. I ran to packed teen audience, and the buzz was spellbinding, more disturbing than Pottermania. In only a few short years, this is Carol talking, in only a few short years, I've watched the occult addiction mushroom amongst teens and develop aggressively into a yearning that they even sell their eternal souls for. Think of it. The love of a vampire, a being the Bible describes as demon-possessed, musters the longing to remain lost for eternity, the very state Jesus Christ died to save sinners from. How debauched and depraved is Satan's message to our young innocents, luring them through a lust film romance to spend eternity with him and away from the presence of God. Twilight brings occult aspects introduced in Harry Potter to more decadent fathoms, overt vampirism, acceptable blood-sucking, and others, sexual lusting, etc. Carol, you want to comment on that?
I am shocked beyond anything that what started off in the classrooms, really Harry Potter was promoted in classrooms, in school classrooms, which is shocking enough under the guidance of teachers and being read aloud in the classroom. But here we have this author who, like J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter, she received her spirit beings, her characters in a dream. And, you know, the idea of interacting in the spiritual, supernatural world, which we are told absolutely not to do. But here we have Twilighters, these fans that are now being told to go and write their own stories, imagine and conjure their own characters, and create their own reality. And this is a very concept that here we have Stephanie Meyer, who in an additional dream after Twilight, as I said, Edward came and visited her in the night and told her that she had got it all wrong and that he did drink human blood, and he could not live on animal blood alone, as she wrote in the story. She says of this Edward, who preteens are being targeted with, who are swooning in the cinemas, and I heard their swoons, and I saw the packed houses, she says she had a conversation with this Edward, and he was terrifying.
Eric, you want to weigh in?
Yes. In other words, Stephanie Meyer has brought Edward out of the pages of the fiction and is now telling us that he is an actual being who is communicating with her. What does this tell us? Of course, we haven't brought up yet that Stephanie Meyer is also a Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
And so she is wide open for satanic deception. And you know, something Carol just said, something I've been saying as I've been talking about this with others, is that we're going to have a whole troop of teachers march out and say, but wow, our kids are reading. Isn't this wonderful?
Yeah,
it'll be
thank
the
you.
Same. There's so many parallels
yep.
with the arguments that we heard over Harry Potter, the same ideas, you know.
Yep, the kids are reading and it's only fiction.
Well, you see, what I brought up with Harry Potter was, are we not concerned with the content of what our children are reading? If they were reading Penthouse or Playboy, wouldn't we be absolutely outraged? But apparently spiritual pornography is okay.
Oh, that is exactly the stuff I've said in one of my DVDs. I agree completely with that. And I feel sure you've not seen what I've said or read what I've said, but that is exactly the same line of thinking that we've lost our view of what they are reading and what kind of input they have. You know, we're in a culture, and Jan, you and I have done programs about the occult and Bible prophecy. We're in a culture that's hooked on the supernatural,
right.
That has a longing for supernaturalism like we've never seen. It's an uncanny thing that's happening today, but I think it's a very prophetic thing that the culture is bound to be swinging into this, because there's no way they would ever accept Antichrist without being prepared for all this otherworldly type of supernaturalism, such as Twilight, Harry Potter, etc.
All right, let me just read a little bit more from Campus Life. Again, Christian publication. And they say, what shines in Twilight? Looking at four key ideas of the vampire saga that stand out for Christ followers. I say, what are Christ followers doing there? All right, if you haven't read it, Twilight, this is Campus Life. If you haven't read it, Twilight is the story of a teenage Bella who falls in love with Edward, a 108-year-old vampire frozen at age 17. Edward and his family have chosen to not feed on humans, all right, hunting only animals. This is so sick, I'm sorry. Bella and Edward throughout the series are torn between their feelings for each other and the inevitable problems that arise from a human-vampire romance. Well, Christian application. Campus Life now has a Christian application. Bella and Edward's relationship actually exemplifies a lot of what the Bible says love should be. Think about the Bible's description. Love is patient. Love is kind. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Folks, the Bible doesn't say relationships are healthy in the realm of vampirism. This is evil. This is seductive. This is the occult. Campus Life, Christianity Today, and others, pluginonline.com. You can look up that for yourself and see which ministry is promoting this, at least allowing it on their movie review website. They need a reality check. Brian, on air, please tell me the result of the poll.
All right. At this point, we have a total vote of 41 say we should talk about it, and we have 0 that says you have crossed the line. And I've got nothing but comments that basically say, good job, Jan. Keep up the good work. We need more of this. Society has crossed the line. You know, children that they know have been vulnerable to this. Never be ashamed. And a real common thread I'm getting from people is Ephesians 5:11 have nothing to do with darkness.
Thank you. Were you folks able to hear that?
No, I wasn't, Jan. What was it?
Yeah, we didn't hear it.
Okay. We end the poll, by the way. I believe it was 41 callers said, keep it up. They said, we need to hear this. Thank you, my audience. Thank you. Thank you. I agonized over this hour. I really did. It's not happy talk, which you'll get all over the place. The We've shut down the poll. The phones are still ringing like crazy. 41 said absolutely keep on talking about it. So, my friends Carol and Eric, thank you. We need to get to some, just to real briefly here, because we can't just present a problem without offering a few solution ideas. And, Eric, let's hit just a few of them because in the interest of time, let's start with number one, a preview, whether it's video games, books, cartoons, TV, whatever, this information, first of all, get acquainted with it, in other words.
That's right. I think parents need to understand what kind of input their kids are taking in. And I realize that so many parents, both parents working and the culture and the times that we live in, but is there anything more important than spending time with our kids and realizing that we build a bond with them and we need to understand the input that is happening in their lives? Please, parents, don't expect your children to get fixed with 1 hour of church on Sunday and maybe an hour of youth group on Friday. This is an everyday deal for us, and I think most parents say, well, yeah, duh, we realize that. But do preview what your kids are into. I will never forget a number of ladies that have responded to an altar call, an invitation I gave one time in a church in Canada, and they had all come to the altar supporting this one lady who was disheveled and just coming unglued, weeping and crying. And the service ended, and I came down off the platform, and I asked one of the ladies, what is up with this lady? What's going on with her? And the lady said, well, her son committed suicide a week or two ago. I forget exactly how long, but it was recently. And I said, tell me the situation. She said, well, she was wanting to give her son some space, and so she hadn't. She decided she was going to stay out of his room. She hadn't been in his room in 2 years, and when they found him dead of a shotgun wound, they found the room was painted black. They found the occult knives, the ceremonial candles. They found the pentagram on the floor. They found the occult books. And they found out he'd been involved in Satanism. And, you know, she was trying to give him his space. I tell you, parents, if your children are living under your roof, then you need to know what's going on in their lives. You need to know what's going on in their room. And you need to know what kind of books they're reading, what kind of games they're playing, and what kind of friends they're keeping. So we need to be involved with that, and we need to preview what's happening in our kids' lives. Secondly, we need them to communicate and use the scripture, but not beat our kids up with it. I once heard a young mother say, if you don't stop that, I'm going to tell Jesus, to her young daughter. And I knew the mother well enough, I could kind of pull her aside and said, you don't want your child to think Jesus is some kind of an ogre, some sort of a heavy-handed monster. Don't use Jesus as a battering ram to kind of make up for some parenting skills. And we had a great talk about it after that. But we do need to use Scripture, and our kids need to know that the Scripture is the bottom line in our house, not what the culture says is good and not what the lesser of all the evils says is good. And if we'll do those first two things, maybe the most important thing in this list that I've got before me here that of the things I teach on this topic on what to do, that's what we're really telling parents is what can you do if your kids are already reading this stuff, or what can you do to help bulletproof your house from these things. The most important thing after communicating with your child, after understanding what they're into, what influences are affecting them, then you can do effective battle in the spirit realm. Then you can pray effectively for their lives. Then you can pray effectively against these influences. And I think it's a very positive thing to pray against the evil influences that may be trying to get into our homes and lives. It is really up to us as parents to lead the way and to give our children the role modeling about these things and the understanding, and to pray for them. And maybe I should add this too, Jan. I encourage parents, you know, if your child has a Ouija board in the room and you've just become a Christian in the last little while, you need to go get that thing out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, do not go on a search and destroy mission in your child's room without having some dialogue with them and some understanding. Because what we want to do, rather than us enforce our rules, is get them to think with a biblical worldview to make better decisions long after we are the main influence in their lives, long after they leave our homes. We want to instill in them now a biblical worldview so they'll be able to think biblically. I've always said that before the first jerk tries to offer my granddaughters a joint, they're going to know why we don't smoke pot as Christians and what's wrong with that. They're going to already have that worldview in their hearts and minds about why we don't do particular things and, of course, why we do act a particular way.
All right. Number three is pray. Not only pray for your kids, but when their friends are drawn to evil influences, lead your kids in prayer that those influences are bound and broken in the lives of others, i.e. spiritual warfare.
That's right. I think it's a very positive thing that, you know, once you've communicated this and this becomes a topic that you speak about in your home, that you and hopefully your kids are led to pray for their friends who are being drawn by these things. And, you know, that really does something to you when you're praying for somebody else to be delivered from something that's also been maybe something that's drawn you into it or been trying to draw you into it. So, and I've seen a very positive effect with teenagers praying for their lost friends or for other church friends who have maybe been drawn the wrong direction. And really, I brought up number four already, but really we want to develop a godly decision-making process in our kids concerning their life that will last long after they are out of our home. Number five would be, you know, there's a parent probably listening right now who is just beside himself or herself about the influences that have taken over in their child's life. Once we have done these other things, and of course there could be a myriad of other points we could bring up, and this is just kind of a skeleton view of this, the ideas here, but number five would be to rest and trust that God is on the throne and that He loves our kids and grandkids and so on more than we can ever understand. And there has to come a place in time for in our lives when we just receive the peace of God to know that we are doing our best and we have decided to walk with Him and to serve Him. And there is going to be a struggle and a battle because we still live in the flesh, we still live in the world, and Satan is still loose to try to destroy whoever he can. And, you know, the devil's job, to me, is to make the church be less than what Christ called us to be. He's already got the world, and no general on a battlefield would ever go and try to retake a city he already has.
Eric?
Satan is after the church, for sure.
Eric, what you had to say was very profound, very powerful. And I completely support your strategy. The power of Satan, I remember when I was an occultist, I desperately needed power in my very, very weak, pathetic life. I didn't realize it was satanic power. I didn't realize it was being given to me by supernatural powers. But when somebody led me to Jesus Christ and I realized, the Lord revealed to me that Jesus had His enemies under His footstool and was sitting at the right-hand side of God the Father, and I was able to sit in that position with Him, through Him, because of Him, it was the most amazing impact in my life. And so many Christians today are unaware of the power of the supernatural world, the power of deception, the one that's roaring around, prowling lions seeking to devour. They don't understand the urgency of Satan. And not only that, but they don't understand the incredible more power, deeper power that we are given through Jesus Christ. And I think when young kids get that and understand that, they will give up their pursuit of vampirism, occultism, whatever it is, because they see that there is a spiritual power. The movies enforce it through incredible virtual reality animation that, you know, a flick of a wand of Harry Potter's can bring this and all this sort of stuff that can. So for them, magic seems real. And as long as Satan seduces them, they're in that place unless the power of Jesus Christ can be presented in a greater, more impactful way. So.
All right. Let me, and again, Erica, but I'm going to read the rest of your points. Thank you, Carol, by the way. Number five, rest and trust that God is on the throne. Number six, receive God's grace for the past, Romans 8:1. And then you say, Eric, in a survey in a 2000, George Barna revealed a key reason why the church is anemic today. Born-again Christians spend seven times as much time on entertainment as they do on spiritual activities. Eric, if you want to summarize in a minute.
Well, I think one of the most important things that parents can do is to seed into their children the ideas and the biblical worldview that will last them a lifetime. That is really the key to all these notes. And if folks are wondering where this stuff came from, by the way, it comes from my video, which is called The End Time Occult Invasion. And it's the end of that DVD where I give these points so that people have some sort of an idea of what can they do now that they've identified the problem. Because as you brought out earlier, we just don't want to identify all the evil without leaving people with some solutions.
Absolutely, absolutely. And by the way, my ministry carries Eric's DVD, Errors of the Emergent Church. If you would just go to olivetreeviews.org and go to our products, this is a topic you've got to understand the Emergent Church. His DVD, Errors of the Emergent Church. Carol Matriciana, we carry at my website. We carry her DVD, Yoga Uncoiled, which is about the yoga that's come into the church, and the brand new book, which we spent first hour on, Out of India. Fantastic. My friends, thank you both for joining me today. I have music in my ears. We're going to get cut off in a minute. Stay in touch.
Thank you.
Carol, we'll see you.
Jan, thank you so much. And God bless you and encourage you.
And we'll see you at Christmas, right?
Yes, see you in the freezing cold.
Yeah, you will. Goodbye. Okay. Oh, boy. All right. I apologize for that, folks, but I think we got the point across. Thank you for taking part in that poll. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The loyal audience I have, I love you. Okay? We have talked again about not just troubling times, but very sick and pathetic times. Remember, God is in charge. God is still on the throne. God is still looking over, and he is still in the business of redeeming the lost, even if they're caught up in goofy things like Twilight. So say with the psalmist, won't you? I trust in you, O Lord. Hey, our times are in your hands. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.